Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Live from the Insperity Invitational for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Now here's the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
With the second pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State. The Arizona Cardinals have traded the third pick to the Houston Texans. With the third pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Will Anderson Jr., linebacker, Alabama.
There you have it. Last night in Kansas City, the Houston Texans making a huge splash by picking second and third, and we will break all of that down and a whole lot more today with the preeminent draft expert in the business, our own Lance Zierlein, joining us live from Los Angeles after a long night of mocking the second and third rounds. Lance, get any sleep?
Not really. Got to bed about 2:30, so not a whole lot of sleep.
Not a whole lot of sleep. And 2:30 there is like 4:30 here.
No. I was 2:30. No, 2:30 there.
Oh, no, that's the other way around. It's 12:30.
Yeah.
So.
No. Yeah.
It's 4:30. Yeah, it's 4:30. Yeah.
No, 12:30 here. I already was telling you.
Oh, you already calculated it. I got you.
Yeah, I already calculated that.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Well, we're going to be here for the next 3 hours, and, you know, I don't want to poop. I know a lot of people are excited, and there was a lot of excitement. We did the show last night at Valencia's, and I was listening on the way home, and Patrick Creighton was all excited. You can't, and you know what, you can't poo-poo this thing, the excitement for the fan base and everything else. I just feel I've got a hole in my heart that this is – they just gave up way too much capital to move up to number three. You're talking about a Khalil Mack kind of trade in which you gave up the 33rd pick and what could be a really high pick next year. When Arizona is on the board with the Texans pick next year, we may be cringing that it could be something that would be special. And once again, I just feel like, why do we trade with Arizona? Every time we try, I feel like we get there. We are their bia. I don't know how you felt about it when it came down. I was thrilled when I saw Will Anderson, but then when I saw the compensation, Lance, not so thrilled. How about you?
Well, the compensation was it is starkly different. I mean, you know, you've asked me people conflate this and that. They want, you know, so badly to be right or wrong or whatever the case may be. As I've said from the beginning, in terms of who I wanted, I wanted C.J. Stroud. I don't know if there's a problem here with C.J. Stroud, but C.J. Stroud, and I thought they would go Tyree Wilson until I got the medical information, and then I thought it would be Will Anderson because, you know, we've gone through all that stuff. But the guy that I wanted was Bryce Young, and if he wasn't there, I would have been fine with C.J. Stroud because Stroud is clearly the second-best quarterback and fits this offense. I mean, fits this offense. So, you know, I was happy with that. And as I know I said it on Twitter. I can't remember if I said it on the show. If you hear Stroud, because I'm convinced that this is a separate call. This is a separate conversation. We'll talk about how the Stroud stuff came down. How did it become Stroud? I think that clearly there was an interjection, and there was clearly multiple things going on in that building. And Adam Schefter made comments yesterday to this point, but when it came down to the compensation, when I heard Stroud, I'm like, okay, there has to be another trade coming for Will Anderson. And a trade came, and it was Will Anderson. When I saw what the trade was, I was like, wow, that is sporty, especially when you take a look at what Arizona gave up to move from, you know, that 12 spot up to six. I mean, it wasn't nearly as expensive. And one of the reasons you have to take C.J. Stroud first and not Will Anderson first, if you're going to do the 2-3, is that the thought was you can't let it be the quarterback available at three, because Arizona will be able to leverage you into a bigger pick. You have to make it Will Anderson that is available for the bigger pick. The problem is, supposedly, Arizona was, or rather Atlanta, I had heard, was interested in moving up for Will Anderson. So I think the problem was, you know, you had a couple different people willing to Tennessee for Stroud, and then you had Atlanta potentially for Will Anderson, who were willing to make big moves and go get two separate players. So I think they got really leveraged into giving up. And that was a lot. I mean, they gave up a lot to give up, you know, next year's first. Okay, I would understand that. But then when you also give up that 33rd pick, yeah, you're right. That was a lot to give up. I was a little surprised at how steep the price was. Now, I also think you get a quarterback who is really, really accurate, who can throw to players on the move and hit them in stride, which is what this offense is going to require you to do. I think you get a quarterback who played his best game against the best competition at the end of the year against Georgia. So, I mean, it was a game, but that's still something, you know, that's still a team that wrecked everyone else, and they didn't wreck Ohio State, and they didn't wreck C.J. Stroud, not even close.
No.
And C.J.
No.
Stroud was missing, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. had to leave in that game, and he still performed great. But, yes, I think the price tag, those are two separate conversations. You can be happy for getting Stroud, but the realization is that and happy for getting Anderson, but the realization is that was an expense. That was a more expensive trade than I expected, and
it could
potentially be way, you know, well beyond what the trade chart would suggest.
You're putting a lot on Will Anderson right now, because everybody's going to look at the draft competition. We're going to look after next year in Arizona who they pick and what you gave up to get Will Anderson with this second round pick and that first round pick next year. That price tag might be staggering. And you know, even Mel Kiper, I was reading him this morning, and he said, man, this was a head-scratcher for a team that's not ready to win right now. You have all that draft capital, which can help you build a foundation,
right,
and you just gave it away. You built up all of that with the Cleveland trade, the Deshaun Watson deal, and you had yourself in a nice position to get a lot of football players, which is what you need, a lot of football players. And instead, you went and grabbed headlines, and that's what the Texans did here. How did this develop? Here is Nick Caserio talking about how the trade with the Arizona Cardinals went down last night.
I'd say the trade itself was actually consummated with about a minute and a half left on the clock. So it's us to Arizona. Okay, we have a deal. Us to the league. Okay, we're doing a trade with Arizona. Here are the terms. Here are the parameters. They have to match it up. Okay, you're good, you're on the clock, be ready to submit the pick. So there's a lot happening in a short period of time. So we were under 5 minutes, and then we're really under 2 minutes. So we had to get the pick ready to submit on the computer. So as soon as we were on the clock, it was ready to go, get the player on the phone. So, you know, we had dueling phones working there for a little bit. So and then I'd say we probably made the pick with less than a minute left. So the clock didn't run out, so at least we were able to make the pick.
I mean, are you kidding me? His answer is he walks you through the process of making a trade on the phone.
Not how did it go down, or why did it go down, or what was the thought behind it going down. The mechanics of it. Listen, we had to get the pick in on the computer. You mean you had to type in Will Anderson? Okay.
Then we had to get the player on the phone.
So we had to dial a phone. Okay. He's not going to tell us. He's not going to tell us anything.
No.
Listen, I got big ups to your boy Daniel Jeremiah. He hit this on.
Yeah.
He hit the hit the nail on
no,
the head.
No, I think, I don't know if he had intel necessarily. I mean, it feels like he did because this is literally, he got the trade up. Like, Daniel Jeremiah nailed the trade up. And, you know, he and I have been talking, and his whole thing the whole time was just, it was the same thing that a lot of people, you know, would say. Like, the common sense is you're not going to be at number two, hopefully, very often anymore. So how are you, if you pass on quarterback here, you have no guarantee of getting quarter. Like, his whole thing was, if they pass on Stroud, I just don't know what they do. Like, what are they going to do about quarterback? They don't have a quarterback of the future. Now, if you don't believe in a quarterback, you don't take a quarterback. But they may not be in a position to, you know, they may be in a position where they have to trade into something and give up a bunch of picks, whatever the case may be. So he kept saying, I just have to put it there. But, you know, he had mentioned previously on a phone call that, you know, maybe they could trade in. Now, look, this went down really, really late. Nick is not going to answer that. Something was going on in the building.
Because Daniel Jeremiah was talking to somebody in Arizona, and the Texans had been talking to them for a while. That's what we don't know.
Oh, no, no, no.
Did this really just come out of nowhere? Absolutely not.
No. I'd already heard. So yesterday, Texans were a team that was looking to potentially trade up or trade back, and that included both 12 and 2. So they were willing to get out of 2. They were willing to trade out of 2 if the right offer was made, but they also were exploring trade in options. And I'm not sure if it was. I really do think, to be honest with you, and I don't care how it happened. I like having Stroud and Anderson. You know, the compensation's a separate conversation, but I really do believe that at some point, whether it was. You know why they gave up so much? Because they said, D'Amico, we will get you your guy.
Yeah.
We'll also get you. If we go Stroud here, we'll get you your guy too. And so, they made sure that they got Will Anderson as well.
To that point, it could well have been, and we don't know. It could well have been ownership saying, we have to get a quarterback. Okay. Yeah. But let's go get your exactly. I think you hit the nail on the head. Let's go get your guy too, though. Okay, we can and what it costs be damned. And that's actually Nick Caserio said that afterwards. The compensation wasn't too much. Here is Nick Caserio talking about what they gave up.
You know, really, the trade in and of itself was just about doing what we felt was best for the team and the organization. And I would say trades are always a product or a function of the player. And, you know, I would say just from our perspective, it's not about, like, what the points tell you on a chart. You know, if you have conviction about a player and you want a player and you think the trade is the right thing for you to do, then you go ahead and do it, you know, which is what we did. So I would say we're certainly not worried about, like, what the points are and what the trade chart says.
Well, the
you
fact
know what the trade chart – Lance, do you know what the trade chart said?
I don't
– I do.
Go ahead.
I do. It's 330 points higher than what they should have paid. That's a lot.
Oh, 330 higher.
330, yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. No, it's way – 330 points is, I think, the back end of the second round. That's a lot. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that is way more than you would expect to see. And here's why. Because you were – probably because – and this is just sleuthing around. It doesn't really have to do with football. But what happened was – you said, look, we're going to go with him and we will get this third, whatever it takes, we're going to move up and we're going to make this happen. That's why it happened so late in the clock, as Nick was saying. And that's why they gave up way more on the trade chart. And, you know, because they really, the guy they wanted it to was Will Anderson. But once again, it was going to be Stroud 2, Anderson 3 if they were going to do a trade up. You don't leave the quarterback as the third player because, you know, it opens a door to other people trying to get in a bidding war. But it actually didn't end up mattering. You ended up having to overpay. But with that said, you got the guys that whoever in the building wanted Stroud got Stroud, and Will Anderson, who I think the building wanted, absolutely got who they wanted with Will Anderson. And I'll say this about Will Anderson. We talked about Stroud. There's a lot of pressure on Stroud. There's a lot of pressure on Stroud for a variety of reasons. Number one, Texans need a quarterback to win. You know, we don't want a quarterback that doesn't, you know, follow up on what Deshaun Watson did. You want him to be a really good quarterback. Number two,
There's the pressure of Ohio State quarterbacks trying to succeed. That's, you know, that's his own thing. That's not a Texans thing. Number three, you now have, you know, from the standpoint of chasing another young quarterback and Lawrence, it's difficult. Now, I can tell you that adding Will Anderson is you're adding culture, and that is a big deal to add Will Anderson because mm-hmm. Will Anderson has special football character, and he's a guy that I think D'Amico Ryan's not only wanted from a football standpoint, but also from a fit, like a guy who can become the leader in the locker room, which I think is probably missing on this roster.
Right. Okay, well, we got a lot more to talk about. If you want to chime in, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. We are live at the Insperity out here at the tournament course at the Woodlands Lances in L.A. You got thoughts, you can tweet us at John Granato, at Lance Erline, at R has no J. And let's go. 713-780-3776. In the meantime, Lance, a little Daspit.
Let's talk about John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. You know, I think John Daspit had earmarked some of that $1 million that he's given to the football program. I thought that was going to go for Alton McCaskill, as a matter of fact. But that's just an example of how John Daspit wants to help one of his former schools. He went to law school at University of Houston. He's also going to be involved with University of Texas, where he did his undergrad and got an accounting degree. He is an accomplished person. He really is. This is a guy with an unbelievable drive. When he sets his sights on something, he is going to achieve it. And that should make you happy, because when he is representing you, when his firm is representing you on a personal injury case, when you have been wronged or you've been hurt through someone else's negligence, and you don't know where to turn because you're so upset. I mean, you've got physical pain, you've got hospital bills, you're missing work, you got physical therapy, you don't know who's looking out for you. Well, John Daspit and his law firm will absolutely look out for you. They look out for the little guy, and they will fight against the big insurance attorneys to make sure that you get the proper settlement you're supposed to get. And that's something that is that he's great at, is making sure that the little guy is represented and protected. And that's why you need to have the phone number 713-CALL-NOW. At 713-CALL-NOW. And you can get a hold of one of his lawyers, set up your consultation, and see if John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm is right for you. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Insperity Invitational. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Your thoughts on what's going on here with your Houston Texans. You're more than welcome to get in. And any draft question you got for Lance, we'll go through the whole draft before this show ends. But obviously it is a big thing with our Houston Texans making a huge splash. Let's no doubt about it.
The fan base is very excited, John.
I got Cub Fan 10
sending me messages yesterday, like, can you please hurry up and join this broadcast so I don't have to listen to Drunk Granato piss and moan about the Texans along with that other guy? He just kept saying Jeremy was that other guy. A, were you drunk? And B, were you complaining? And C, was Jeremy the other guy?
Jeremy was the other guy. And, yes, I was lamenting the cost because when I look
at... What about A? What about the first one I said?
Was I drunk?
Yeah.
No. I wasn't drunk. I was
drinking. Did you have a Coors Light?
Yeah, I had a few, but I wasn't drunk. Yeah, there's a big, huge difference. Was I drinking and was I drunk? That's two different things. So
that's two different things, Cubby and Timmy.
So let me read you a list here.
All right.
And you tell me what this is. Desmond Ridder, Zach Wilson, Tua, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, Marcus Mariota, Johnny Manziel, Geno Smith, Robert Griffin III, Jake Locker, Tim Tebow, Mark Sanchez, Brady Quinn, Matt Leinart.
That's second quarterbacks.
Second quarterbacks taken in the NFL draft. There's one notable omission, and that would be 2017. Patrick Mahomes was the second quarterback taken in that draft. So this is a guy who put this out there on Twitter. Look at CJ Stroud. C.J. Stroud. Okay.
But he left Mahomes out?
He left Mahomes out. Yeah, I mean, you know, conveniently to make his point. Patrick Mahomes was the – and listen, Daniel Jones has been okay. Tua's been pretty good. Daniel Jones has just gotten a big another contract. The rest of them, Geno Smith took a long time to get together, and it didn't happen for his team.
It's more failure than success.
Way more failure.
Obviously.
Way more failure. Yeah. And that's what happens. However, with Bobby Slowick and this offense at CJ's accuracy, CJ Stroud is hopefully going to be a very, very good pick for this team. And be it that the ownership had to have a quarterback, be it that they did it for the fan base, be it that they did it to make a splash, be it they did it to sell tickets, all of these things. In your mind, C.J. Stroud was the right pick, right?
Yeah, because first of all, it matches up with my grades. I mean, what I had. I mean, I have to stay true to my grades. Now, like I said, I never get to interview anybody. I don't know the personality traits. I don't know the mental makeup. I don't get to know that stuff necessarily. But from a football standpoint, if you just knew football and that's all you know, your question was, man, he's not, you know, it was a little inconsistent with this and that. But then you look at Georgia, and against the very best competition, he started moving around the pocket better. He started using his feet more, which is a big concern for me, is why isn't this guy running a little more? Like, he didn't ever pull it on zone read stuff, but when he did start to move more, I saw him go through progressions in the Georgia game. I saw him, which is something that they kill Ohio State quarterbacks on, but I saw him get through progressions, extend plays, make throws on the move, which is not his strength, but he made throws on the move, and he's very accurate. And I just think in this offense, Levis and Richardson don't fit for this offense. They just don't fit because they're not naturally accurate enough. Only two guys fit, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. And so, yeah, from a football standpoint, John, to me, there's no problem with this. Now, there's some ancillary things that I have to take in that make me a little bit like I'm not all the way on board from a standpoint of like jumping for joy just because I know certain things that concern me a little bit. But from a football standpoint, you know, you love this. Now, they basically said, clearly, I think, find the, I don't know if we have this, is Sean back there?
Yeah, Sean's there.
Sean, find the Adam Schefter, tweet, or the Adam Schefter sound where he said, I'm hearing that C.J. Stroud is going to be the second pick, but it's very confusing because there's still people in that building that believe that Will Anderson is going to be the second pick. So there's something that happened in the building, I believe, that made C.J. Stroud the late pick. And whether he went 3 or 2, that's just something for people to get to say, ooh, you were right or you were wrong. The reality is that Will Anderson, I think, was going to be the pick. And then at some point later in the process, it was C.J. Stroud. That does feel like ownership may have stepped in, which also, if that's the case, John, and you think that could be the case too, that just shows you that David Mulgeta's presence as the agent for C.J. Stroud was not a factor in this decision.
Well, not a factor. I'm sure that there was all. Listen, it's not like this all just happened. Oh my God, we just took C.J. Stroud. Now, wait, let's go get Will. They've been planning this, okay, for a while, and they've been talking about
this. Oh, it was
one
of the contingencies. Yeah, it was a contingency they talked about.
Listen, and we might not be able to get him, but I'm sure that they talked to Arizona before. I'm sure that they you know, hey, what does that look like, that number 3 pick or whatever, but doing it in a way, you know, that and maybe they just got the compensation down last night or whatever the case may be. But this is not just off flippantly off, oh, let's just go try to get Will Anderson now. No, they've been talking about this. There was just a lot of discussions in that building for a while now. It's been 4 months. What are we going to do? Who are we going to take? I want a quarterback. Let's get the quarterback. Let's make sure that we walk out of there with that quarterback. And let's, okay, D'Amico, you want Will Anderson? We'll go get him too. All of those things, I'm sure happened. You don't just all of a sudden, hey, what about Will Anderson now? No.
Okay.
This has been thought out.
No, but I will tell you, if you had drafted Will Anderson first and taken your chance,
here's what would have happened.
Probably Tennessee comes up to 3 and gets
him.
However, if they don't and Arizona sticks with Paris Johnson, you know, I put Paris, I got 7 of my first 10 in the mock, right, because I projected some trade-ups.
I didn't want to put Paris Johnson three. That felt too early, but it felt like the right pick for Arizona. If they had sat there and picked Arizona, picked him, Ballard was not taking C.J. Stroud. I got to text with him. It was Anthony Richardson was always going to be his pick. What would have happened was C.J. Stroud would have gone to fifth, and the Houston Texans could have moved to fifth and gotten him. But guess what? You're in another bidding war because there's no chance that another team's not coming up there because there's only two. While Ballard and Indianapolis loved Anthony Richardson, there was only two quarterbacks that are, you know, ready to go right now, guys. And you already saw Will Levis didn't even get drafted in the first round. Didn't even get taken in the first round. And no, guess what? He's going to fall in the second round, too. It's hard finding a spot for him in the second. I ended up giving him to – I think I gave him to – I don't even know where I put him, actually. I can't remember.
That was the Geno Smith, Aaron Rodgers, that moment where he kind of looked with his eyes like, oh, I don't know. And his mom came and hugged him a little bit. That was the Aaron Rodgers and Geno Smith moments for Will Levis last night. And listen, Hendon Hooker is still out there as well. We'll see how this all plays out.
There's a chance Hendon could go ahead of him.
So Arizona, talking about compensation, Arizona went back up to 6 from 12. And you know what they gave up? They gave up the Texans. They gave up the Texans' second-round pick to do that. So they moved up 6 spots and only gave up that second-round pick.
Now, the Texans told DeMeco Ryans, we're going to get your guy. Let's do Stroud. We'll get your guy. And it cost him. And it also cost him because the quarterback was – there's only two quarterbacks that most people viewed as, like I said, kind of – they're in a tier ahead of Richardson and Levis. They just were. No matter where Richardson went, the perception was these two guys are in a much higher tier than the other two guys. And Arizona leveraged Houston into it. I mean, Houston's on the clock. They didn't get a deal done before the draft. You know, it would have been cheaper to get a deal done before the draft. That's how you do – if you want to control the draft, you get the deal done before the draft. And they didn't do that, which tells me that it is a late decision to go Stroud to and then Anderson. Because I know Anderson was kind of locked in. So if you wanted to control this, John, and not get leveraged while you're on the clock and you have no leverage, you would have gotten the deal done in advance. You would have said, hey, we're going to trade up to 3 before the draft, and this is our plan. We're going to get Stroud and Anderson, and we're good. But you didn't have that plan in advance, not set, that's for sure. Because you didn't make the trade in advance when you had a little bit more leverage without being on the clock. So once you wait until you're on the clock, it's all Arizona. And they were able to and Arizona knew. They'd seen Will Anderson in all the mock drafts at number 2. They'd seen him late become a number 2 pick for everyone, and they knew you wanted Will Anderson and they were going to make you pay. And that's what happened. Did. But from a football, I understand all the
No, from a football standpoint, I'm thrilled to have Will Anderson. Standpoint? Listen. Okay. And the Texans are – I'm thrilled to have Will Anderson. I'm thrilled to have C.J. Stroud. Thrilled.
Like C.J. Stroud's size over Bryce Young.
Yeah. No, who doesn't? How can you not? I mean, all of those things. You know, he's accurate down the field. C.J. Mm-hmm. Stroud is hopefully going to be great here. And Will Anderson hopefully is going to be great here. It's just there's so many holes, so many things. Listen, let's hope this all works out. I hope it all works out for the best. I really do. I don't know that I'm just going to throw picks just because I got to have – I don't know. I just wouldn't do it. But you know what? The fan base is happy. We'll see. Let's see. But making fan bases happy ain't the goal. The goal is not to make fan bases happy. The goal is to win football games.
Always.
Always. And we'll find out whether or not this is the way to build them. We got to take a break live at the Insperity at the Woodlands Tournament Course here where it gets underway this morning. The 3 rounds here in the city of Houston. Just great, great stuff. Right now, though, I'm talking about Chastang Ford. Speaking of great, great stuff, these are my peeps over at Chastang Ford. I cannot tell you how much I love that. The guys were out last night at Valencia's. And it was just so much fun. The Chastang guys supporting us over there. That was great. Thanks for coming out. this is they. We support them. They support us. We love Chastang Ford. We love the Chastangs. We love what they've done in this city for 80-plus years. And the integrity that starts at the top with the Chastangs and how they've built this business and how they keep it. You know, the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston for Ford? Are you kidding me? The reason that they do that is because they give the best deals. Businesses know. You should know, too. Make sure that you're getting the best deal with the best service with the best people. They're going to work their tails off to get you that best deal in that Ford Bronco, Sport, Escape, Expedition, Explorer. They've got all these models in stock right now. 2022 year models, take advantage of 0% for 36 months. 2023 F-150 Bronco, Sport, Escape. Take advantage of purchasing an F-150 and receive up to $1,000 in accessories. Purchase a Bronco, Sport, or Escape. Receive up to $500 in accessories. They got F-150 Lightnings on the lot. I love mine. You will love it too. Order banks are now open. Let's go. No markups, no add-ons. Do not pay MSRP on order vehicles at Chastang Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown, or you can do it all online at ChastangFord.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Insperity Invitational. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. You want to get in? You got thoughts? Am I off on this about the compensation? I'm seeing, you know, a lot of people, hey, be thrilled that your Houston Texans have made a big splash. I wanted to
You're
go
making
safe.
Fans upset right now.
I want to go safe and steady. I wanted to do be solid. I wanted to get really good football players. And you have you had a lot of capital to work with, and you don't anymore. But you've got outstanding players. So that is, you know what? This is the route that they're taking. I hope they're absolutely right. I do. I just wanted. I wanted to build this thing with a lot of solid. I like what Detroit did. Do you? I mean, I loved what they did last year.
No,
I hated
what Detroit did yesterday. Jack Campbell, here's what happened. Witherspoon got snatched right in front of him, and they were so pissed that they just traded out because that was their guy. They had everything on Witherspoon being sixth because they don't like the top ten, and Jalen Carter was not going to be the pick. So when they traded out, I think their plan was Witherspoon sixth, and Jamar Gibbs 18, and then once they lost their guy, I really believe that they didn't want to lose their next guy, and so they drafted Gibbs. They panicked. I think they drafted Gibbs way, way early. I think they could have gotten him at 18, and then it forced them into getting Jack Campbell, who was a linebacker on their board way early at 16 or 18, wherever they – no, at 18. So I didn't like – I like the Jahmyr Gibbs. I like it from a football standpoint. I think it's going to make them hard to like.
I love that. You lose Jamal Williams and you pick up Jahmyr Gibbs.
Jahmyr Gibbs is a wide receiver. Like, how are you going to guard him and Amon St. Brown in the slot? Yeah. I think they got incredibly explosive. I just thought they panicked in terms of how they handled the draft because this is what I've been talking about. This top 10 was going to be chaotic. It was going to be chaotic because there was a lot of things going on. I mean, the Texans were having internal battles about what to do. Obviously, you have, you know, Ballard shocked everyone by going Anthony Richardson. Levis completely fell out of the first round. You had multiple trade ups because the pieces didn't fit the needs of where teams were at what spots, and so it was extremely chaotic. And Detroit, I thought, ended up panicking. And yeah, they got a guy that really fits them. I'm not saying he doesn't, but I don't think they had a good trade. I don't think they had a good plan. I think they should have traded back out of 12 again. They still would have got Jahmyr Gibbs, but it looked like they panicked. But it's still a good player, though, John, and it's still a mismatched player in Jahmyr Gibbs, so I like that.
I mean, I always like – you know what? So maybe you could have taken him six spots later. I'm not taking that risk. If I love that guy and I think that guy is going to be my guy for years to come. And all this stuff about – listen – Bijan Robinson going to the Falcons where they took him, and then we got two running backs in the top 12. I thought we're not supposed to have any first-round running backs. You know what? It's a good move. You got him for 4 years for sure. You don't know, and you got him for that fifth year that you can put the tag on, or you can put the fifth year option on him.
And then you can tag him for
not so much money. You might have that guy around for 6 or even 7 years, and then you don't give him a second contract. I think first round running backs are the way to go.
If they're special, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll see if listen. We saw Bijan. You love Bijan. Did you like that pick going to
the
Falcons?
It's a little curious just because they don't really have any of the pieces in place. Like, they need wide receiver. The quarterback, we don't know if the quarterback's any good. They still have to get better defensively. Like, it's a little strange to add. Usually you add the running back when you're like Buffalo, right? You're ready to win, man. We're gonna get something that takes us over the top. So instead, they're going with that takes us over the top guy really early. But, you know, like, you can go all the way back in Houston history to Earl Campbell, and they did the same thing when they were terrible. And, you know, it had a huge impact on the organization because he was just so dominant. Yeah. I'll just say this. I think that Bijan Robinson is basically the Atlanta Falcons said, well, we want a pass rusher. Well, you're not getting one at number 8. So what else do you want? Well, we just want we want the best football player in the draft. Okay, well then go draft him. Who cares what position he plays? And because this is a kind of a not great draft, but Bijan clearly has great talent and is separated from everyone else, I think Atlanta just said, let's just go get the best player on our board. Let's go take the best player on our board.
Agreed. What did you think of the Eagles?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? So I had heard Howie Roseman. I mentioned it on the show yesterday morning when I called in. The word was Howie Roseman was looking to trade up and get his hands on Jalen Carter. Now, I thought it would happen at 5. I thought the flip-flop would be 5 and 10. And instead, he did it at 6. No, he did it at 7 with the Raiders, right? No, he
did it with the Bears at 9.
You know, that's right. No, he got a... Oh, yeah, he did it with the Bears because that means the Bears were not going to touch Jalen Carter. And so he did it with the Bears at 9, which is a little bit of a surprise that he would do that. But when he did that, I knew for sure it was Jalen Carter. So they went and got Jalen Carter. The Bears, Ryan Poles, you know, clearly talked Howie into thinking somebody else was going to come get him. So Ryan Poles did a good job, by the way, with his first pick. So, you know, and turning it into what he turned it into. So then they came and got Jalen Carter. Okay, you know the risks and you know the rewards that go with this. Then with his 30th pick, he drafted Nolan Smith. Now, from a football standpoint, it makes sense. But I think what they did, John, is they basically wanted to surround Jalen Carter with as many guys from his old locker room. They wanted to say, we got Jordan Davis, we got N'Kobe Dean, and now we're going to take a guy who is, you know, considered to be, you know, he and Will Anderson are considered to be the elite character guys. And they went and got Nolan Smith and said, we're going to put one of your teammates and a guy who will hold you accountable, and he happens to fit our football team, we're going to put him at 30. So now you got four Georgia – basically Philadelphia is Georgia's defense. That's basically what it is.
Yeah,
you got Georgia's defense and Hassan Reddick.
Wow, unbelievable. And Nolan Smith – they pick up Nolan Smith late. They've got they're stacked with Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. I mean, you want to talk about it? The Philadelphia Eagles. Howie Roseman's the best general manager in the league. I don't think there's any question. Howie Roseman.
They wanted
him
fired 3 years ago.
Oh my God, he's so good. He,
you know what?
Because
3 years
good.
Ago is like, you know what it was 3 years ago, and this is why you have to let things play out. When you grade drafts, this is why it's the dumbest thing in the world to grade a draft. Grading a test that's never been taken.
Yeah.
You know why they wanted him fired? Because he screwed up and missed on, you know, Justin Jefferson versus Jalen Reagor. And so that miss, it was compounded with the Jalen Hurts that everyone hated the Jalen Hurts pick.
Yeah, how's it now? How's that
and now you look at, okay, so yeah, he missed. You
he
know,
missed
on
Justin
misses.
Jefferson. Everybody misses. Everybody
look at
misses.
Jalen. Yeah, exactly. But look at Jalen Hurts now and look how he's built the team up.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I'll tell you what, Brad Holmes at Detroit, I love what he's doing. I love what Brad Holmes is
doing. Well, I think he's putting together. I think he's. I didn't love Jack Campbell that early, but I'm getting very specific. I think what he's doing over there is really good.
Yep. All right, 713-780-3776.
And Nick Caserio, what about him? Do you love what he's doing? He's putting together
Nick Caserio,
a juggernaut.
Is a, he's also
he's
a GM.
He's putting together a juggernaut.
He is also a GM in
the
NFL.
That's right. He is a GM, John. That is correct.
Yep. And listen, I'm hearing guys going to go see our girl Amy over at Houston Injection Med Spa, and they're getting the shot, and it's working. And if you're somebody that would like to lose weight, you want to try this. It is I'm telling you, it's a craze around the country. This shot that is people are losing weight with. It's something that is, I'm telling you, it's working, and she's seeing unbelievable results. Guys, you want to look better. You want to feel better. You want to look younger. You want to get rid of hair, unwanted hair on your back, in your ears, in your nose. Get it lasered over at Houston Injection Med Spa, 975medspa.com. It's not only for the ladies. You want to look better. You want to feel better. You want to look younger. Facials, Botox. If you want to get Botox, you can do that as well. If your forehead is all wrinkled up, you want to just make it, you relax it, or I guess it's relaxing all of those nerves up there. I don't know. I don't know the specifics of how that works. All I do know is that people are looking better, feeling better, looking younger, having more confidence, all of those things. Don't feel ashamed going into a spa and getting and looking better. 975medspa.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Sports. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Insperity Invitational for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Keith says he hates what the Lions did, grabbing Gibbs when you got David Montgomery and DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift has not been.
No, he'll be gone.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if they moved him, actually.
They traded Okuda. Okuda was a disaster.
Okuda they missed on. He's still.
Yeah, and passed on Gonzalez and Forbes. It's interesting how that went, Lance, with the cornerbacks. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Happened? So they didn't think Gonzalez was tough enough. They didn't like him. And they really like Witherspoon. And Forbes at 166 pounds. I've said it before for shock value, but it's true. Forbes weighs 30 pounds less than Bryce Young, who looks like a skater. So that's, or some people say a tennis player. That's,
Of the Commanders taking Forbes there at 16?
Well, if Forbes was 190 pounds, I mean, he's probably a top five pick, top four pick. I mean, Forbes had six pick sixes in his career. He had eight interceptions last year. His ball skills are ridiculous.
Watching his highlights, I was like, holy crap.
The stats you see on him are unbelievable. Here's the question, John. Do you remember a draft pick the Houston Texans made named Kevin Johnson?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What happened to Kevin Johnson?
He just got run over. Basically run over.
He had multiple concussions and had to leave the league. You do have to run support. Now, Kevin would stick his head in there. If Forbes is going to be a good tackler, the question is, man, how does he hold up at 166 pounds? So that's the question on him. The football, like how he plays cornerback, look, I hate to say it, but I'm just telling him, listen, if you can just grab him and drag him down, do that. Don't be trying to run through guys. Just grab and I would teach him every grab and drag tackle I could.
Well, he played in the SEC, so he's hit some big guys. I mean, it ain't like, he's been around. I mean, we'll see. But he's long and he's got great, unbelievable ball skills. So maybe that's going to be a good pick. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here with us on ES. Roger wants to get in here and talk about the Houston Texans haul. What do you say, Roger?
What's going on, John Lance? Wow, what a night! If anything, like nothing is set in stone. Nothing, you don't know if things are going to go right. But at least this is not a typical Texans dancing around the bush draft where, like last year and previous years before that, where they just went ahead and just did it, man. They just, you know, saw something they wanted and they got it. That's real different. That's a good sign. That's a good sign that the Texans are probably maybe turning the corner. With that said, kind of wanted to get Bob something off for your wartime or war room, Gautieri, Lance. Moving forward, what do you think that the Texans needs are? Like, the, I know they have a lot of holes to fill, but what other moves can they make? Could they possibly looking forward to doing closing out this draft? Yep. And
what are they going to do today? Thanks, Roger. We appreciate it. But what are they going to do today, Lance? They've got the, 65 and 73 today?
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
I mean, you're just looking best available. I'm trying to remember what – I think it's 65 would be interesting if centers drop, you could look at center there. I think there's a chance that you might look at tight end with one of your two picks that you have today.
Who's left that they that'll be there?
Well, I think there's going to be a run on tight end, so I think it's – you know, that's my problem is I'm hoping – potentially Luke Schoonmaker, but he's not really – I don't know if that's the kind of guy. I think they would want maybe a Sam Laporta. I don't know that he's going to still be on the board.
I saw a lot of places where he was gone already.
Yeah. I think he's going to be gone in 2B, which is the middle of the second. So my guess is from based on where you're picking, you could be looking at center, at defensive –
D-tackle. What about D-tackle? Is there a big guy that might be around?
So I went through the second and third round mock yesterday. The big tackles, they're going to go quick. Like, you're going to be done with defensive tackles potentially, and you may not want to take one until like the fourth round once the top guys are gone. But we'll see how D'Amico sees these guys. Like, you know, they could use draft capital to move up and make it, you know, like try to target Keon White or something like that. But I don't know if I'm for getting rid of your entire draft for just three players.
Yeah. What about a wide receiver in the 65-73?
Yeah, so wide receiver, maybe Jonathan Mingo, who is a big possession receiver. You could look to add more speed if you are interested in trying to get a speed guy. You could look at Josh Downs from North Carolina, who I love. You could look at...
Is he still going to be around at 65?
Yes, there's a chance. There's a chance. It depends on his... He's only 171 pounds, but I don't think he will, John. There could be, like with the second pick in the third round, I think is where you might look at some of the wide receivers out there. I like this kid, Tyler Scott. Here's the problem. If John Metchie's only a slot, then you kind of need somebody who can play outside.
Yep.
And this draft has a bunch of smaller guys. You don't really have guys with speed.
All right, let's get Gary in here. Wants to talk about the Texans draft. Hey, Gary.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to say Nick Caserio can't get fired fast enough. You know, like, I think Will Anderson is going to be a good player. By no measure is he a generational player. And you gave up a quarterback haul when you already had your quarterback. Like, there's 22 positions on a football team, right? Give or take, you know, special team.
Wait. Maybe. I want to hear you say out loud who the quarterback is.
C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, no.
Oh,
have a quarterback.
Well, no, I'm sorry. They drafted a quarterback at 2, and then you give up a quarterback haul to get a...
I got you.
That's the type of trade you do if you're trying to move up for a quarterback.
I just
want to say, like Will Anderson is a good player, but we have so many holes on this team, and we're just, like, throwing draft picks away. Like, it just didn't make any sense to me. And if you were going to do that, then why not do that to get Bryce Young, who we all know they wanted as their number one choice in quarterback? I just don't get it, and I just don't have any hope for Bryce Young.
Gary, that's a good point. Remember, you heard Lance that Nick Caserio got cold feet on about giving up next year's first rounder to move up to get Bryce Young, and if Bryce Young was their guy, no question, their guy. You gave up that first-round pick for Will Anderson, but you wouldn't do it for Bryce Young?
Yeah, you might have had to give up. You wouldn't have given up for your 12. You would have given up probably next year's first and maybe this year's second, but you would have kept the 12th pick. So I don't know. It would have turned into Bryce. It would have turned into Bryce Young and whoever was at 12. So, but yeah, I think that point is fair. See, this is what happens when you have multiple things happening in a building. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just trying to say, you know, when you have multiple things going on in a building where some people want this and maybe the owner wants this and D'Amico wants this, what happened was Nick tried to basically make everyone happy. Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to use our draft capital where we're going to get our quarterback, but we're also going to get this guy. And so what ended up happening, and I would agree with what Gary said, I don't think Will Anderson's a generational player. He's a good football player, but I don't know that he is. I don't know that he's going to be a special player in terms of you know, his production, but I think he's going to be good. Like, look how productive he was in the SEC. His production is really, you know, it's really strong. And I think the only thing that happened was they late to the game, they said let's do the CJ Stroud thing, but they had to have their contingency to get Will Anderson, and it just, you know, it ended up, they ended up getting their nose stuck in it from a leverage standpoint, because once again, they weren't all on board with their, they hadn't made their decision of what they were doing early enough. I don't care what anyone says, you would have secured that pick earlier when you had leverage. If you knew exactly what you were doing, you would have owned the third pick before you even went into the draft. Right. And they didn't, and so they had to give up a lot. But
they had to give up a boat.
There's a lot of pressure on those two guys, John. There's a lot of pressure.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I think Will Anderson maybe even a little bit more. No, C.J. Stroud is the quarterback, and obviously there's always pressure that goes along
always
with that.
Pressure, yeah.
But Will Anderson, what they gave up, the haul that they gave up, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny, a lot of scrutiny. All right, 713-780-3776. We're taking calls. Get in here. We got a board filling up. So 713-780-3776 right now, though, we got Craig DeSurf.
Yeah, and Craig DeSurf is offering some amazing deals. But it's not just the 0% financing on Chevy Silverados for well-qualified buyers and no payments for 90 days. It's not just the 1.9% APR financing on like the Chevy Equinox or offers like that. There's great offers on the Buick Encore. It's just the way they treat people. It's just who he is. It's who Rick Drenner is. It's who the entire staff is. The sales staff, the service side, everything is specifically created to make you happy. It's to get you into the building and out quickly. If you have service, it is specifically created to have you enjoy your car buying experience. There's nothing worse than, you know, buying a home and buying a car is stressful, but when you make the purchase, you want to be happy and you don't want to walk away feeling upset. And so Craig DeSurf doesn't want you to feel upset walking away from your purchase or your lease. He wants to make everything as easy as possible and make it as beneficial as possible for you, because he understands that your happiness is what's going to bring a business. And they're out in Angleton, but that drive out to Angleton, it may be a few extra miles, but it's also going to be a few extra $1,000 in your pocket. The trade-in value is unmatched what they're giving you right now. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. For more shopping information, go to LanceZCars.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.